Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers T-News that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The Tea Biz podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Consumer sentiment sags. Researchers describe how to boost tea consumption in China, and Ceylon tea planters call for a stakeholder summit as debt relief brightens outlook. Plus, purpose-driven marketing. This week, dozens of teas and tisanes were displayed at the 68th Summer Fancy Food Show in New York. Healthful, functional, and sustainably produced plant-based beverages with clean labels were in the spotlight, along with purpose-driven brands aligned with consumers' desire for authenticity and social responsibility. Ethical food and beverage marketer Jillian Christie, CEO of Christie & Company in Santa Barbara, California, joins us this week to share her insights after three busy days maneuvering among the crowd of 30,000 walking the Javits Center trope. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Consumer confidence in China, Europe, and the U.S. continues to sag, according to economists. Chinese consumers are the least confident, as evidenced by the first decline in online sales during the 618 Festival, China's second largest annual sales event after Singles Day in November. Reuters writes, quote, retailers in China face a daunting near-term future after a disappointing mid-year online shopping festival that has also clouded the recovery prospects of the world's second largest economy. Reports said e-commerce sales declined for the first time during the so-called 618 Festival, which ended last week. This reflects the pressure building up on retailers already locked in a grueling price war. Forbes writes that a recent survey by the People's Bank of China documents a serious case of consumer blues. Quote, an index that the bank's statisticians have devised to weigh optimism against pessimism among individuals has settled at 49.7, down dramatically from 56 before the pandemic. In gathering these figures, the bank discovered that 15% of Chinese households have suffered a drop in income over time, and an even greater proportion expect that to happen in the near future. Some 43% said they were insecure about their jobs. In the U.S., consumers express mixed feelings. Their view of the present situation improved slightly overall, driven by an uptick in sentiment about the current labor market. However, their assessment of current business conditions cooled. Meanwhile, consumers were a bit less pessimistic about the future labor market conditions for the second month in a row. However, their expectations for future income and business conditions have weakened, weighing down the overall expectations index. The Conference Board writes, quote, "The decline in confidence between May and June was most pronounced among consumers aged 35 to 54. In contrast, those under 35 and those 55 and older saw an improvement in confidence in June. No clear pattern emerged in terms of income groups. On a six-month moving average basis, confidence remained highest among the youngest, those under 35, and wealthiest, those making over $100,000 per year." In Europe, McKinsey Consulting writes that, quote, "During the second quarter of 2024, consumer optimism in Europe grew slightly from the previous quarter, although most consumers reported having mixed feelings about the economy. A greater share of younger consumers said they planned to splurge compared to older consumers selectively, and they reported an interest in treating themselves to dining out and travel. As we've seen for much of the past year," writes McKinsey, "European customers also said they continued to trade down. Together, these data indicate that consumers may have finally adjusted to the higher-than-usual inflation, which suggests their shopping behaviors may have stabilized for the time being," end quote. The Planters Association of Ceylon, representing 396 estates and 330 factories, warned this week that a government-imposed 70% wage increase for tea workers would make black tea exports uncompetitive. The association writes that any wage increase should instead incentivize productivity. A press release shared with the media states, quote, "The industry is already under significant pressure due to the highest production costs globally, making it a challenge it can beat in the international market. Implementing a 70% wage increase overnight would exacerbate this situation, given that Sri Lanka is already the most expensive tea producer worldwide. Additionally, tea productivity has been on the decline over recent years, compounding the industry's struggles," end quote. The group called for a summit of tea stakeholders. Sri Lanka exports about 95% of the 250 million kilos of mainly black tea produced annually. In May, the government ordered wage increases from 1,000 to 1,700 rupees, about $5.60 per day, which producers say will add 45% to production costs. The 1.3 billion industry employs about 615,000 workers. The government proposed the increase to quell political unrest caused by high inflation and unemployment. Sri Lanka is deeply in debt to foreign creditors, and raising taxes is problematic for meeting financial obligations, but crucial to keeping funding flowing from the International Monetary Fund. On Wednesday, Sri Lanka reached final restructuring agreements worth $10 billion, including agreements with an official creditors committee of bilateral lenders and China's Exim Bank, which provided much-needed relief to the beleaguered island nation. Bloomberg reports that Sri Lankan officials in Paris agreed to restructure $5.8 billion of debt, financing an initial agreement struck late last year with a group of official creditors led by France, India, and Japan. On Wednesday, local authorities also reached a final agreement on debt treatment between Sri Lanka and China's Exim Bank worth $4.2 billion. The president's office said the debt overhaul will allow Sri Lanka to allocate funds to essential public services and secure concessional financing for development needs. The Tea Growers Association writes that enhancing workers' livelihoods is commendable, according to spokesman Roshan Rajadurai, managing director of Kalani Valley Plantations, Palawakkali Tea Estates. He explains that, quote, "A productivity-based pay system is a more viable solution, balancing fair compensation for workers with the economic realities of the industry, and thereby safeguarding both their welfare and the industry's future," end quote. Rajadurai explains the model is designed to safeguard the industry's viability and enhance the welfare of state workers. Based on current industry standards, employees could earn a minimum of 1,820 rupees or more. He told The Island Online that this approach strives to balance ensuring fair compensation for workers and acknowledging the economic constraints that impact the tea sector. According to the release, quote, "The Planters Association is calling for a meeting with all concerned stakeholders to discuss this matter further, as such a dialogue is crucial for reaching solutions that ensure the industry's prosperity and its workers' well-being. The association is ready to collaborate with the government for a sustainable and mutually beneficial resolution," end quote. According to researchers studying tea purchasing behavior in China, tea is perceived more as a cultural product than a fast-moving consumer good. They recommend marketing to emphasize its deep cultural roots. Quote, "The motives behind brand and prestige chase are positively related to social situations. In contrast, motives of sustainability, pragmatism, and chasing novelty and uniqueness are positively related to consumer purchase under self-use situations," end quote, writes Li Wang at the College of Economics and Management in Shixing A&F University in Hangzhou. Co-authors include Ying Yun Tong and Ann Toppenin at the Department of Forest Sciences at the University of Helsinki in Finland. The paper, Cultural Motives Affecting Tea Purchase Behavior Under Two Usage Situations in China, a study of Ren Qian and Mianzi, Collectivism, Man Nature, Unity, Culture, was published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Ethnic Foods in 2021. Chinese tea drinkers consider tea that sells for $20 to $30, that's about 150 renminbi, for 500 grams to be inexpensive everyday teas. In social settings, they pay twice as much for premium teas and $6 to $10 per gram, or $3,000, that's about 20,000 renminbi for 500 grams of specialty tea. In contrast, European and North American tea drinkers spend 5 to 10 cents per gram for tea consumed at home. A box of 100 black tea bags in the U.S., Canada, or the U.K. sells for less than $10, currently about $7.80 for Lipton Yellow Label. Why are Chinese and Asian consumers comfortable paying 200 times more than Western tea drinkers? The authors write that in China, quote, "Consumer demands on tea have not been explored sufficiently from a cultural perspective. This research aims to examine motives that are driving Chinese tea consumption," end quote. 280 tea drinkers took part in the study of consumer motives and usage. The researchers discovered a linkage between Chinese culture and consumer motives and described five consumer psychological motives. According to the authors, quote, "Usage situations are arguably the most influential in predicting consumer behavior, with strong implications for segmentation and identifying niche markets. However, most studies on usage situations have not been examined outside Western culture. Hence, the first intention of this research is to explore usage situations outside of Western culture," end quote. The research results have two implications, they continue. Quote, "First, the study suggests that consumer motives derived from local culture and usage situations are related in China, enriching the research on usage situations outside Western culture," end quote. Consider gifting. The authors observe that gift-giving in China is arguably influenced by brand and prestige-chasing motives due to Ren Qian, which is described as human feelings, and Mianzi, or face, described in the West as reputation, prestige, and social standing. For example, gifts on social occasions symbolize the intention and image of givers and the respect felt for receivers, especially when they turn to instruments to save and maintain face. The amount paid, brand, and importance of the products differ. The willingness to pay for an item can be higher in such circumstances than the ordinary self-use label to save one's own mianzi and to care for others' feelings and faces. Conversely, tea purchases for self-use appear to be more related to value and price. Business Insight. China will produce 3,188 metric tons of the world's tea in 2024 and drink about 45%, almost double that of India. At $111 billion, China's tea market far exceeds the value of every competing market. Consumption per capita, however, is only a third of the average 1,300 cups Turkish tea drinkers consume annually, and less than half of what tea drinkers in Ireland and the United Kingdom consume each. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 27th June 2024. The All Assam Malty Growers Association has taken a pledge to work for the quality of Assam tea. The association has appealed to its members to stop using banned pesticides and have started conducting workshops to raise awareness about tea safety and permissible pesticides. They seem keen to change the perception that small tea growers are dragging the quality down. Some samples of green leaf from their members got a clean chit after testing at the Tea Research Association at Jorhat recently. And they say they will work on producing clean leaf and in return hope and seek remunerative prices for the leaf. In other news, the Tea Association of India has issued a press release to raise concerns about the drastic drop in tea production in North India, the first and second flush. The cause, of course, is in climate change with severe lack of rainfall and excessive heat that plagued the region earlier. The association estimates a reduction of around 60 million kilos by the end of June 2024, compared to the same period last year. By April, Assam saw 8% drop compared to the same period last year, but while West Bengal saw a 13% decline in production. By May, things took a turn for the worse, when the drop in production was 20% for Assam and 40% for West Bengal compared to 2023. And the rainfall has been quite significantly low. West Bengal saw 50 to 80% reduction in rainfall in the major tea districts, and in Assam it was 10 to 30% in shortfall. This also means possible heavy monsoon with above normal rainfall, which will further exacerbate the situation. Remains to be seen how the rest of the year will progress.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack, steep simply and conveniently.
This week, dozens of teas and tisanes are on display at the 68th Summer Fancy Food Show in New York. Healthful, functional, and sustainably produced plant-based beverages with clean labels were in the spotlight, along with purpose-driven brands aligned with consumers' desire for authenticity and social responsibility. Ethical food and beverage marketer Jillian Christie, CEO of Christie & Company in Santa Barbara, California, joins us this week to share her insights after three busy days maneuvering among a crowd of 30,000 walking the Javits Center show floor. Jillian has been helping ethical companies grow for more than 30 years. As a former talk show host of a nationally syndicated green radio talk show, Jillian provides fresh, experienced, and dynamic insight and strategies to build companies into iconic brands based on value, meaning, and ethics. Jillian's greatest passion is helping ethical companies succeed in making the world a better place.
I got started in marketing at 5 years old because I wanted to change the world. And I thought the best way to do it was to be able to highlight ethical companies all over the world and give them a platform of success from which to be heard. Because We only think that if we could have ethical leaders changing the world, it'll come through business. So I'm honored to help companies be successful. And we're really good at what we do.
Before leaving for New York, Jillian and I met at her office in beautiful Santa Barbara to discuss old times and new teas. Jillian, you've attended decades of fancy food shows. Will you share with our tea audience what you saw at this year's summer show?
I'm always excited by this show for so many reasons. It's vivacious and full of people of every country and ethnicity and product line, and then it disappears. What I love about it is it follows my business philosophy that we can make peace profitable. Nobody was fighting. They were all just sharing ideas and concepts. New York will now be the exclusive East Coast show for anybody wanting to introduce or continue to represent a company within the food and beverage area. You and I have known each other for a long time. I think it's almost 18 years ago to bring rooibos into the U.S. market from South Africa. We've brought a lot of other tea ingredients into the U.S. and working with companies here as well.
Our listeners will be particularly interested in exhibitors who were displaying RTD, regular leaf tea, and other tea variances.
So there's both the ready-to-drink side, the RTD side, and some of my favorite are like Joe's Teas, who's just this wonderful old, good old American brand. And I do have little pieces of things. But I saw other ready-to-drinks where they use tea as an additional ingredient, not as a primary ingredient. So there was like ginseng up. Now, ginseng is actually an herb. And so when you think of a beverage that's ready to drink, sometimes it isn't just canaliensis as a tea, but you see other ingredients coming forward. So there were sparkling teas, flat teas. In the RTD side, there were ones mixed with new herbal formulas. There was one with probiotics. So they were using tea in the RTD side, which is America's much more acceptable way to receive a tea, because of the fact that they were using it as a channel to share different ingredients, which if I remember from all the learnings I've had from you as well, tea is that medicinal channel. So in the package side, lots of different ones out there, a lot of ones in the different countries from India, et cetera, et cetera. But also just the traditional ones like Republic of Tea, you know, some of the brands that have been there and holding the space for a long time, they were displaying everything they had to show too. So it's exciting to see that because you asked me to keep an eye out, especially for teas, I would say that at least 15% of the exhibitors were in the tea category of some type.
Oh, that's a great number. One of the things I noticed is a greater embrace of purpose-driven marketing. You're remarkable on that, an intuitive expert. Can you offer some advice for budding brands and tea estates trying to market directly to consumers?
Absolutely. I love your slight play on words with budding brands, because we did bring PG Tips to the market from the U.S. as well. So some antique brands or traditional brands have come in. Because I understand the American mindset, and as an agency, we're quite unique in the fact that we only work for clients we think are ethical. So in that discussion of what is ethical, it is to understand your supply chain. It's to ensure the quality of your product meets a specific standard, whether you're going organic, non-GMO, or any other certification. But on the next one is, do you as a company also feel within your business model that some or any of your profit can go to something else? And the American consumer will always find, and I'm sure you will endorse this, does it taste good? Do I feel good when I indulge in it? Is there a benefit to me? But what else is the company doing? So I would say for the budding brands that are coming into the U.S., listen, you need to know where your tea's from. Is it quality? Can you depend on your source? Because the worst thing in America is to become famous and then you have no supply chain, because we have a short memory here and we jump onto the next exciting opportunity if the supply chain isn't consistent enough to make sure that there is enough for everybody to enjoy. And then on the other side, as you're telling your story, remember the story should always incorporate the consumer too. So yes, absolutely, we are helping, you know, the farmers in our communities, and also those farmers want to know you. So a lot of it has to do with making connectivity between your product and the American consumer. And just remember, we get a little lost on the planet. when we have to have someone tell us, well, our tea is from Sri Lanka, like Dilma, or from India, like all the ones that you preferred, you know, we have to be oriented a little bit to understand it a bit more.
Is purpose-driven marketing experience an increase? And if so, what trends are you seeing and seizing?
Absolutely. And because I work in multiple channels of industry, whether it's agriculture, you know, food, beverage, et cetera, I would say what we're seeing, and it has a lot to do with the influx of technology into marketing and communication. So you're right. There are people who build a brand with checkboxes, right? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? Is it this? Right? And that's fine. It satisfies potentially the investor. I'm not quite sure. But I can actually tell you, and someday I will scientifically prove it, that authenticity has a vibration. It has some magnetism, because I jokingly say AI should be authentic intelligence, not artificial. How can you be organic and use artificial, right? It's actually an oxymoron if you're playing the conversation. So the more you could be authentic, and that just means be true to your own core values. Know what your core values are. Don't just buy them because someone else says, well, blank, you know, because once you stay to that, there's no longer a confusion on who you are, because marketing is all about who are you? What are you exchanging with your efforts and energies to be paid? And can that person stay with you in your community? They will stay if they believe you're authentic. And I jokingly say, if we were as smart as our dogs, because dogs have hackles, and hackles tell the dog, hey, that's a bad person. We lost those. We have them, we forget it. So to answer your question, I don't give a short answer. However, I think if people just stay authentic, that purpose will be because it's true, not because it's a checkbox.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.